To the Lord. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Come boldly to the throne of grace. You will receive mercy and help for a time of need. We are in God's house now, in God's presence, in God's space, God's place. And the Lord has promised that when we get together like this, He is right here in our midst. So let us pause and sense God's presence. Lord, we come. And so, Lord, we come now bringing our thanksgiving and praise to You, for You have blessed us. You have given us so many wonderful things, relationships, a church family, health, strength, vitality, material blessings. Let us give God our thanks and praise now. We come bearing our confessions, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We need forgiveness. What concerns you? What do you need to confess to God now? What behavior, what actions offend Almighty God? This is a time of confession. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and He would forgive us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Now let us pray for our brothers and sisters here, people with needs, those that are sick and hurting and suffering, those mourning the loss of loved ones, those having it hard in these difficult financial times. You know people in need, maybe in your family, among your friends, your community, the church. Let's lift up someone now to the Lord. And let us pray for ourselves that we will grow in grace. We would be more like Christ. That we would be faithful disciples, generous givers. Lord God, help us this day. That we will conform to the image of your Son in every way. Now, as you sit here, reach out in your own heart to the Lord. Do you believe in God? Do you believe that God is here? Do you believe that God can do all things? Well, now ask God for something special for your life. Whatever it be, ask the Lord. Ask and it shall be given to you. Claim that promise. The Lord is here. Now let us feel God's presence. Let us sense God's touch on our lives. Maybe a touch of healing, a touch of assurance, a touch that brings peace to our hearts. We thank you for this time, gracious Father. And all these prayers we lift to you in the name of the one who taught us in our praying to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Christ beside me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, King of my heart, Christ within me, Christ below me, Christ above me, never to
Please come back with me to our text from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, already read for us in our hearing. And this text will be the focus of the messages for our stewardship drive for the next four Sundays. This is our menu, this is our diet. I trust that we all have good appetites. The occasion for this chapter is the collection that was made for the believers in Judea who were experiencing great persecution, food shortages, and a very precarious Palestinian economy. In the midst of all of these hardships, they are hit by a Katrina of a famine. Maybe this is a famine spoken of in the book of Acts, chapter 11, 28, the one prophesied by the prophet Agabus. St. Paul launched a fund relief drive, if we would call it that, among the Gentile churches to assist their hurting brothers and sisters in Judea. Many churches responded well, but the church at Corinth was late in responding. So in the chapter before us, Paul writes urging them to do the right thing. But he didn't only just do that. He somehow told them what the churches in Macedonia, a much poorer community, had done. Now, the comparison is a very humiliating one for the people in Corinth, for they tended to look down upon the Macedonians. They were called the barbarians in the north, and there was always, a long history of political rivalries between the two people. And so Paul points to the generous giving of the Macedonian churches, and he says to the people in Corinth, you can do as well as they have if you give generously. So today we want to look at this lesson, the first five verses, is our focus. And look at it in terms of just three basic ideas. First of all, we have here the Lord giving the church, in particular now, let's look at the church as Macedonia, the ability for their giving. Verse 1 of the text. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches of Macedonia. And what we are trying to say here today, first of all, is that there is grace given by God to help us with our giving to God. The Macedonians gave out of grace. And Paul is saying by implication, you too are gifted by God. You too have access to God's grace. You too can give. Now, when we consider the greed in our world, when we consider the poverty that exists, maybe like me, you would conclude that generosity is not something native to the human heart. We tend to hold on to what we have. And I've not been a pastor for many years without knowing that in a typical congregation, there are some people who just do not give. Always wanting, but there are people who do not give. I read a little story some time ago of a lady who had lost her purse in a busy street shopping area. And luckily for her, a little boy found it, and he found her too. So the fellow came up to her with a purse, and she is delighted she'll get a purse back. The boy gives her the purse, and she says thanks to the boy. She is happy to get it, but before moving off, she opened and she checked the purse. And she said, "This is strange. When I lost my purse, I had a $20 bill in it. Now I have 3 $5 bills and 5 singles. And she looked at the boy, staring at him down, and the boy said, "Well, you see, ma'am, the last time I found a lady's purse, she had no money for a reward." Because some people do not like to give. Brothers and sisters, there is the grace of giving. And the church throughout the ages has been an institution that gave, that rushed to the needs of the needy. We have UMCOR, United Methodist Commission on Relief, that is there on the ground whenever there's an emergency, a tragedy anywhere on this planet. The Salvation Army, many of you may not know, but William Booth, the man that started the Salvation Army, was a Methodist lay preacher. The church has a great history of generosity. And long before governments came up with their social welfare programs, it was local congregations that met the needs of those that were hurting. We are called today to be generous in our giving. But I must say, friends, the less the church becomes Christian, the less generous we are. Why? Because generous giving flows from hearts touch and move by the grace of God. Brothers and sisters, Paul say, we want you to know about the grace God gave to Macedonians. They gave. But notice in verse 2 of the text, these people didn't just give. Look at the conditions out of which they gave. For during a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty has overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. You see that? These are people going through the worst of times. We think that we live in bad economic times. Please, this is far worse. Extreme poverty. Now, what is extreme poverty? When you look at the Greek words here and translate them into English, what you have is rock bottom poverty. Poor to the core. Now, poverty in that time was not like poverty today, let's say in America, for example. I went to the HHS, Health and Human Services website, to see what their definition of poverty would be. HHS would say, for example, a family of four with an income of $22,350 a year is poor. Well, I think we could all see that is not enough for a family of that size. But Paul is not talking about that kind of poverty. Nor is he talking about the poverty we cry when we don't have enough money to pay the mortgage on the second house. Nor is he talking about the poverty we cry when our 401k plans or a pension fund, you know, go down a little bit. Nor is he talking about the poverty we cry because we can't make the car note on the second car we own. This is rock bottom poverty. They are poor. Left to themselves, they would not give. But they would give. Why? Because of the grace God has given them. In spite of their affliction, a wealth of generosity flowed out of their hearts. They were generous givers. In times like these, with an economy that is sinking, charities and churches suffer because people tend to hold back. When hard times come upon us, what do we say? I don't have enough. We find excuses. I want you to know, sisters and brothers, that giving to God is a thing of grace. We don't make excuses because we have tough times. The Macedonians did not hold back because hardships came upon them. Grace is given to help us give out of the little we have. So the wealthiest people are not always the best givers. Please know that. Often those with the least outgive those with much more. At the Jewish feast of Purim, there was a regulation that said, however poor a person may be, he or she should find someone poorer and give them a gift. Generosity is not about the amount of money I give. No. Generosity is not about the size of the gift. Generosity is about the heart from which that grace flows. God gave these poor people the ability, that is grace, to share what they had with others. And Paul is saying, he could do that for you at Corinth as well. He could do that for us at Sanford. But secondly, notice not only the ability they're given to give, there is also the opportunity they're given to give. For in verse 3, he says, for as I can testify, Paul is saying, verse 3, they voluntarily gave according to their means and even beyond their means. Verse 4, begging us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in this ministry to the saints. Now, there's something going on here that I've never experienced in my life. These people are poor. They're not just giving. They're giving beyond their means. They're giving beyond their ability. Look at it in the verse, please. They're given willingly in verse 3, all right? Entirely on their own, as other versions would put it. They're willing and ready to give. This is a church that does not need a stewardship campaign. Are you with me? They're ready to give. You don't have to pressure them. Now, I've been in some situations where people are pressured to give money. It was in 1970, it was a church in New York City. Just happened to be there. An acquaintance asked me to come. And at the end of the event, the preacher announced the offering. But he didn't do it the way Methodists do it. He said, over there is the $10 line. Here is the $20 line, the $50 line, the $100 line. And you went into your respective line. Now, some of you wonder which line I went into. I remained in my seat. I don't fall for that kind of stuff. The pressure to give. Squeeze it out. A magician had a little routine he had when he went from town to town with his show. He would take a dry piece of orange skin, the rind, you know, and he would ask somebody to come on stage and squeeze it and see if they could get a drop of juice out of it. So this day he stood with this piece of orange rind, the skin is dry, and he asked, who could come and squeeze this and get a drop out of it? And a little gentle fellow of small stature put his hand up, came to the stage, and the magician said, you can get a drop of juice out of this dry piece of rind. He said, yes. He took it, put it in his hand. He squeezed. Can you see it? Look, there's a drop. Look carefully now. There's another drop. And there are drops and drops and drops. And the magician is astounded. Sir, who are you? How could you do this? Who are you? He said, well, I am the treasurer of the local Baptist church. Sometimes it has to be squeezed out of us. These people gave voluntarily on their own. But notice something else in verse 4. Now, this is interesting. You've got to see this in verse 4. They were begging us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in this ministry to the saints. I don't get this at all. These people are poor, and they're begging to give. Chrysostom, a great preacher of early Christianity, who said, they did the begging, not Paul. Interesting, huh? And they're basically saying to Paul, don't leave us out. Sign us up. We want to give. Why won't you include us? They were begging for the opportunity to give. A church with a number of wealthy people was once collecting some funds for a needy cause. There's a little old lady in the church who was poor, and they didn't send her a pledge card. She called the church and she said, yes, I am poor, but do not deny me the privilege of giving to my God. I've been around churches for a long time, and some of you too, right? Anybody know a church that begs to give? Huh? If you know a church that begs to give and they're looking for a pastor, please tell me. I'm not saying I'll go. I'm pretty happy here. Just let me know, you know, They're begging for the opportunity to give. Our theme this year for the stewardship drive is be the difference. Give generously. True generosity is not the prerogative of the wealthy. It is what we give from our hearts. If you are a person of very modest means in this congregation, I do not want you to say, I have no money, therefore I cannot give. That's a lie. If you have, you can give. The campaign is for you, it is for me. It is for all of us. If you have little means, it is especially for you. Why? There's a wonderful promise in the Bible you could stand on. Give, and it shall be given unto you. That's the word of God, friends. Bring the tithes into the storehouse. God says, I will open the windows of heaven and pour down a blessing on you. Generous giving is not about how much we have. It's about the heart out of which we give. And always remember, as we take the offering each Sunday here, God does not look at what we put in the plate. God looks at what we have left. God looks at a generous heart. They did not give as we expected. They begged for the opportunity to give. And thirdly and finally, not only did these people have the ability to give like this and the opportunity to give, the opportunity they seized, now let us look at the priority with which they give. Verse 5, this one will blow us away. And this, not merely as we expected, that is, they're given. They gave themselves first to the Lord, and by the will of God to us. I must say, other versions do better justice to the translation of the Greek here. First, they gave themselves to God, and then to us. Priority in giving. These people had a God-first attitude about them, these Macedonians. It's offering time, and first they give themselves to God. Then they thought about the offering. They had a God-first attitude about them. Like, seek first the kingdom of God. These Macedonian Christians, first they gave themselves to God. They are the kind of Christians that try to bring God into everything. You know Christians like that? The kind of Christians that want to pray about everything. You know Christians like that? Anybody? I mean, you don't know anybody like that, right? They're the kind of Christians that are too religious, full of God talk, like the pastor, too conservative. They annoy us. First, they give themselves to God. What that has to do with giving money. It's the attitude of putting God first in all things. And so in the stewardship letter, I said that stewardship is also about you. The mission of the church is not to raise money. The mission of the church is to save souls. The gospel is free. You could come, you never have to give. It's up to you. It's free. Given is not a condition of membership. The gospel is free. It is about you knowing the Lord, obeying the Lord, and being generous in heart so that you would be blessed. For the book of Proverbs 11:25 tells us this: a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes another will himself be refreshed. Cast your bread upon the waters. It will return to you after many days. This program is for us. So Paul says, before giving their gifts, they made an entire consecration of themselves to the Lord. And he is saying, that surprised us. You see it in the verse? They did not do it as we expected. They shattered our expectations. How? First, they gave themselves to God. And friends, the only way we will raise more money here than we should, or raise as much as we could, to put it another way, is if first we give ourselves. Notice there isn't much talk about money in the verse. Huh? It doesn't talk about giving money. They give themselves to God and then to us. Never confuse the priority of things here. We don't give our stuff to God first and later ourselves. First, we give ourselves to God. Stewardship is about giving ourselves, our lives. The other stuff comes later on. When a person realizes that he doesn't own himself, own herself, it is easy, let us say, to part with the things in our lives. In the days of the great missionary movements, the story is told of two young missionaries that left the comfort of life in what we will call a civilized world, and they went to people in distant cultures, in a distant culture, I should say. The boat took them as far as it could for them to make their way to New Guinea. When the captain anchored the ship for them to disembark, the boat for them to disembark, he told them, the last missionaries I dropped off here never walked out alive. They were killed by those savages. The two young men looked at the captain and said, sir, we died before we came to this place. We died before we came to this place. First, they gave themselves to the Lord. My sense is we tend to have it backwards. We expect people to give their money when they've never given their lives to God. And if you have a problem giving money to support this church or any church, any cause of the Lord, if you have a struggle with that, you need to ask yourself, have I truly given my life to God? First, they give themselves to God, and then to us. We are in the stewardship drive, friends. And like Paul, I want you to know that there's a grace given to us to give us generous hearts. If you are struggling with generosity, if you are an emotional giver, that is, you give when you come and you give what you feel like giving, there is grace to get you over that. Receive that ability to give from the Lord. Embrace the opportunity to give. Every Sunday we have it. And as we go through the years, we will have many more opportunities to give here. Give God priority in your giving. Before you put your hand in your pocket or in your purse to give a gift, first put your hand in the hands of God. First, we give our life to Him. What would the offering look like today if first we give ourselves to God? What do you think? Would we top what is in the bulletin for last week? If first we give ourselves to God, let us try it. Let us try it. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are here now. And we hear this word. We just want to pause. And look to you. And say, gracious God, give me a generous heart. A generous heart. I give myself to you in the name of Christ. Amen. Number 389. So we ask the question, what would the offering look like today if first we gave ourselves to the Lord? A long time ago, a 17-year-old Norwegian fellow by the name of Peter Torgensen sat in a service, something like this. It was a missionary service, however, and they were taking an offering for missions. When it came time for the offering, he reached for his wallet and he opened it and he emptied the entire contents, all of his money, into the offering plate. But as an afterthought, he took a little wee scrap of paper and he wrote on it in Norwegian, I can't pronounce Norwegian well, Og mit liv, and my life. And he dropped that scrap of paper in the offering plate. He later went out to be a missionary to China. He spent his entire life as a missionary for the Lord. It isn't just the offering, it is my life. We all have the registration card, right? If today you will give more than the offering, if you would do like Peter Torgensen, just write on the back of the card, "And my life." Just drop it into the plate. Maybe we'll find a wall and we'll stick them all up, you know? "And my life." You could write it, drop it in with the plate. It's more than the money. First we give ourselves. Now, sisters and brothers, it's time for the offering. The ushers are coming forward.